of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And now, here's today's message.
Second Chronicles 16:9. And I want to talk to you this morning for just a little while about rare people in the kingdom of God. Everybody say rare people in the kingdom of God. Now, before I go into this lesson today, I want to identify the word rare. The word rare means highly esteemed because of infrequency or uncommonness. It means valuable. It means choice. It means highly esteemed because of infrequency or uncommonness. So when you say something is rare, you're saying that it is uncommon. It's uncommon. You're saying that it's valuable, or you're saying that it's choice. Amen? So when we talk about people who are highly esteemed, valuable, and choice, we're talking about people that in the eyes of God are really kind of uncommon. They're different from everybody else. They're set apart. They're different. Amen? So we're going to talk about three types of people who are rare in the body of Christ. That means that you have to look far and wide to find these kind of people. That these type of people are not commonplace. That God literally has to go on a search mission to find people with these type of characteristics. So we're going to identify what those characteristics are because they are precious to God. God is looking and searching for precious, valuable, choice people that he can entrust things to in the kingdom of God. And so today, while we're sharing the word of God and going through these characteristics, these attributes, I want you to think about your own life. Are you a rare breed in the body of Christ? Or are you just commonplace? Is there anything unique about your life that sets you apart from other believers? Not in the sense that you're better than somebody else. We're not talking about having an inflated, puffed up opinion of yourself. We're not talking about walking with a haughty spirit. But are there some characteristics in your life that make you attractive to God, that would cause God to seek you out and find you? Amen. Amen. How many of y'all want to be found by God? How many of you know we always say, well, you know, I found the Lord. And you do find him. He said, if you seek for me with all your heart, he said, I'll be found by you. So there is a place in God where you can literally find him. But I think it's better when God find you. Amen. So actually, there's a search party. There's a searching that we do, and there's a searching that God does. Amen. We're seeking after God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for your life is hid with Christ in God. So there's a seeking that we do. The Bible says, seek after the Lord with all your heart. Amen. So there's a seeking that has to come out of your heart toward the things of God. But I'm going to tell you, heaven is also on a search mission, because God is looking for people that are just rare. That's the only way I can describe it. People that are not commonplace. And you get to choose the type of person you're going to be in the body of Christ. Are you a rare breed? We're going to find out three characteristics that you got to have. But before we do that, I want to talk to you just briefly here about the call of God upon your life. Do you know that everybody in this room here has a call upon their life? Everybody. There's not a person born on the face of the earth that God doesn't have something specifically designed for them to do. There is a call that goes to everybody. Amen. 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 Everybody say, I'm called by God.
I'm called by God.
You might not recognize the call. You might not understand the call. You might not even be wanting the call. But I'm going to tell you, there's a call that goes out. And the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. You know why? Because God is looking for certain characteristics. God chooses people that have certain characteristics in their life.
Amen.
Amen. The call goes out to everybody, but only a few get selected. Amen. Amen. Do you know that there's people in the Bible? Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I've been going to let the cat out the bag here. Let me hold that thought right there. But I'm going to give it to you, though. I ain't going to let you leave without it. Let's talk about the call of God here. The call of God comes to the heart of man. It's a call to fellowship. The Bible says we've been called into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So there's a call into fellowship. How's your fellowship today with God? Do you fellowship with him at all? Amen. Glory to God. There's a call of God. There's a call out of darkness. The Bible says he has called us out of darkness into what? Marvelous light. Everybody say marvelous light. So you've been actually called out of darkness into the marvelous light. There's a call that goes forth that says, come out of darkness. Come out of sin. Come out of strife. Come out of unforgiveness. Come out of bitterness. Come out of sexual perversion. There's a call out of darkness. Come out of lying. Come out of stealing. Come out of hatred. See, there's a call that goes out that says, look, you don't have to live that way. You can come out of that and you can have a new life. Amen. Thank God I got called out of darkness into the marvelous light. Amen. And you can have that light shining in your light every single day that you're alive. Amen. So there's a call to fellowship. There's a call out of darkness. And then Paul described another kind of call, which he described it as a high calling. The high calling is the supreme calling. Amen. It is a call of God that goes out to the heart of man, that literally calls the heart of man to God in such a way that that man or that woman would become a laborer with God, a partner with God. They're not just people that just want fellowship with God all the time. See, yeah, some people just want to, oh, praise the Lord, I just want fellowship with the Lord. But if the Lord asks them to do something, they ain't doing nothing. Right? They just want fellowship. Amen. Then you have people that just say, well, I want to get out of bondage. I want to come out from under this drug addiction or this alcohol or whatever the bondage is. I need to come out of this sin. They want to be free, but they don't want to serve. Y'all ain't hearing me this morning, are you? Are y'all hearing me today? Some people just want the benefits, see? I just want to miss hell. I got saved because I don't want to go to hell. Do you want to do the will of God? No, I ain't interested in that either. I just don't want to go to hell. Am I telling the truth? Yeah. Some people just want God for the benefit that they get out of being with God. You understand? And they want to hold on to their old life. They don't want no changes in their life. Look, I just want enough of God to make it in. All right. And they'll try to straddle the fence. See how close to sin they can live with still make it in. Right. You shouldn't be hanging around the fence. What you doing hanging around the fence? God didn't call you to hang out by the fence. He called you to get away from the fence. Run from the fence of sin. Do I need to speak a parable to y'all? Let me give you a parable. How many of y'all remember Forrest Gump? I like that one. Forrest Gump had some boys that would pick on him all the time. They come over to 57, I think it was a 57 Chevrolet. Come around the corner. Might not have been that kind, but it looked like it. They come around the corner. He's walking with this girl from school one day, and that truck come around the curve. And boy, Forrest Gump took off running. He had braces on his legs, too. And he running in them braces. And that girl hollered at him. What was her name? Jenny. Jenny say, run, Forrest, run. And Forrest took off running. Forrest run so fast that he broke the braces off his leg. He run right out of that bondage, didn't he? So I'm going to tell you, when it comes to sin, you need to run from sin. Amen. Glory to God. But there is a high call. There's another kind of call that goes out from God that penetrates the heart of man, that actually not only just calls man into fellowship, that not only calls man out of sin and out of bondage, but it actually calls men into a relationship where you are laboring together with him. Amen. Where you embrace his will. Paul said it's a high calling. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is a call to work with God and to work for God. Amen. Yes. Glory to God. How many of y'all answered that call? Yes. See, ain't too many people interested in that call right there. See, we're talking about a rare breed of people. See, there's only a certain few people that's going to go all the way. Amen. I call them rare, uncommon, valuable. Yes. You know, if you look at church statistics, they say that 20% of the people that's in a congregation is the ones that carry the whole load. So that means that 8 out of 10 ain't doing nothing. Right? 8 out of 10 won't help nothing. They ain't going to do nothing. They ain't going to volunteer for nothing. They ain't going to commit to nothing. They just want to come to church and be happy and get a goosebump and go home. Ooh, I felt it. I felt the Lord. I felt him. Can you come help us with something? I ain't got time for that. No, I can't make no commitment. No. Am I telling the truth? So you think about it. In a church, it ought to be 100%, right? People that's redeemed, I'm talking about. People that's saved. People that get on their knees and call Jesus Lord. Right? People that say, oh, Jesus, I love you. I could sing of your love forever. And then look at your watch and say, it's been 15 minutes and they're still singing. You're singing to them now. I could sing of your love forever. Been 15 minutes and they're still singing. When are they going to stop all that singing? Let me see. How many people I got right here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Probably in this little group right here. If we look at churches today, I'm not talking about you individually as a person. Of this little group right here, most of the work need to go in church would be done by 2 people instead of 10. There'd be 8 of them say, I can't. Nope. Uncommitted. Now let me talk to you about people, how they respond to the call of God. Some people hear the call of God and they defy it and openly rebel against it and they resist it. These are the stiff-necked and the foolish. God loves them, but they are of little value in the kingdom of God. They don't assist, they resist the Holy Ghost and those that are trying to do something precious in the kingdom. These are the stiff-necked people. Just ain't gonna do nothing, ain't gonna move. They're not gonna help you and they're gonna hinder you. You know, God loves them because God loves everybody. In other words, God can't really entrust anything to them. He really can't give them any kind of assignment because they're fighting against him. Some people, when the call comes, they just openly say, I ain't doing that, I don't care. They just resist God. Then you have some that hear the call of God, but they think it's insignificant and of little importance in the light of what they presently value and hold dear to their hearts. You know, they'll hear the call of God, but they'll look around and see what they got, and they'll examine, they'll say, now, I got all this stuff right here. If I go start serving God, you know, I might lose all what I got. You know, kind of like the young rich ruler came to Jesus, what can I do to inherit eternal life? He's not talking about just in the afterlife. He's talking about how to have a good life here. Jesus said, obey the commandments. Don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery. Honor your mother and father. He said, I've done all these from my youth up. Jesus said, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Jesus offered the man a position on his staff. Right? Come follow me, come be a partner with me. See, the call went out to him. But then he looked around at what he had and said, I might lose all this that I got. And the Bible says that he was grieved on the inside and he went away sorrowful. And Jesus didn't run behind him. He let him go. And then he turned around and looked at the other ones and say, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of heaven? He's talking about people that put their trust in a material world. Because they're not going to submit their heart because they are attached to the temporal. They have more value. They place more value on the temporal than they do on the eternal. And they cannot let go of their identity. Sometimes their identity is tied up in the stuff they got. Right? Sometimes their identity is tied up in the people that they're associated with. So people start making examples. Well, you know, if I get saved, you know, I got some friends and the people I hang around with. You know, how they going to look at me now if I go and start going to church all the time? I can't make that kind of commitment. No, they value their friendship. They value their social status. You understand? They value their material possessions. And a lot of other things that keep people from really entering into that high call that God has for them. They'll make excuses and say, well, I can't really do that, you know, because they value their present condition more than they would, or they place little emphasis or little importance on the things of God. And they say, well, you know, I don't really need that. I know it's important, but, you know, these things right now in my life are more important to me right now. And they never surrender their heart to God. That's how some people respond to the call of God. You can see why. That you have 8 people out of 10 that won't do nothing. Some hear the call of God, but they're looking for a convenient time to respond to it. Like King Agrippa. He said, I'll hear you at a more convenient time. He said, Paul, almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. You almost got me, boy. Boy, that was a good message you preached. Boy, my heart stirred. I can hear that call on the inside, but, you know, I got Festus over there, and You know, I think about this. He say, I'll see you tomorrow. It's just not convenient for me right now to lay my life down. We don't even know if King Agrippa ever had another chance. Some people don't respond because it's not convenient. They're always talking about what they will do someday. And they waste years pursuing their own plan. Waste years of their life. They've been blinded by the things of this world, and they don't have faith to trust God. Amen? Amen. How many of y'all see what I'm talking about here? Some hear the call and ignore it and act like they don't hear God at all. I call it the deaf ear syndrome. God's talking, but just act like you don't hear him. How many of y'all ever did that? God was talking to you, dealing with your heart about something, and you just act like you ain't hear him. You're just deaf ear. How many of y'all ever had your children do you that way? How many of y'all did that when you was a child? Your mom or daddy trying to tell you to do something, you just act like you ain't even hear him. Because you feel like that, you know, if you don't respond, if you don't acknowledge it, you're not responsible for it. Well, then if they get hollered at you or something, you say, what'd you say? I didn't hear you. You lied in. Then you go to lying. I didn't hear you. Well, you were just ignoring. Some people ignore the call of God. They just keep going through life. God's calling them, and they deaf ear. Because they don't want to let go of what they're doing. They don't want no changes in their life. They don't want their life to be interrupted. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to answer the high call of God, your life is going to be interrupted. Amen. God didn't save you to bring comfort in your life. Comfort is a part of the package, but that's not the primary focus of redemption. It's not to bring comfort in your life. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. That don't seem like the main thing that he's concerned about is your comfort. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He's looking at the end result. Amen? So, and then you have those that hear the call of God and respond to it. These are the ones who will do exploits in the name of God. In the name of Jesus. Those that hear the call, respond to the call, and say, Lord, I'm going to lay my life down, and I'm going to do it no matter what it costs me. Those type of people are very rare in the kingdom of God. You're not going to find them. Very seldom you're going to find a church full of people that are like that. But I'm believing God that we're not going to have 80-20. Amen. Amen. Because I'm going to preach it hot and so heavy in here that if you don't want to do right, you're just going to leave. You say, I can't handle it here. Pastor keep challenging me to change, and I ain't willing to change. I'm going to go somewhere else because every time I go there, the Holy Ghost come on me and start talking to me about my life. I'm going somewhere where I can be comfortable. I tell you what, there's a lot of comfortable churches you can go set in, but this ain't one of them. This is not one where I'm concerned about your comfort level. My primary objective in pastoring you is not to be a comforter for you. My job is to stir you up, push you, pull out of you what God putting in you, help put in you what God want to put in you. That's my responsibility, is to pastor you, to teach and to train you and to help you do the will of God. So if you're looking for a nice little comfortable church where you're never going to be challenged, where ain't nobody going to ask you to do nothing, you can slip in and slip out anytime you get ready and ain't nobody going to notice you, this ain't the church for you. I'm looking for a certain type of people. And you know what? God dealt with me. He said, you know, you need to be looking for the same kind of people I'm looking for.
Hallelujah. Amen.
What kind of people is God looking for? Well, I represent him, right? I'm on his team. Now, why would I be recruiting people that he ain't recruiting? Why should I be giving assignments to people that God would never give an assignment to? Right? Why would I be trying to find different type of people than what God's looking for, and I'm saying I'm working for him? All right, some of y'all get that later. Praise the Lord. God is looking for people that have a heart for him. They are hard to find. Jesus said it this way. He said, the laborers are few, but the harvest is plentiful. This was not a bad confession. It was merely an observation that he made. He said, you know what? We got a tremendous harvest out here. He said, but I don't have very many laborers. He said, the laborers are few, but the harvest is so ripe and ready. But I ain't got enough people in the field. I don't have enough people that have what it takes for me to entrust things to them. Don't say 3 months. He got rid of that procrastination. Don't say 3 months, then come harvest. He said, no, look, open your eyes. He said, the fields are white already to harvest. The time is now. He said, but the laborers are few. He wasn't making a bad confession. He just making an observation. He said, boy, I wish I had some more people that would commit to this thing. And then he said, now pray to the Father. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. Amen. Whose harvest field is it?
His
harvest. It ain't my harvest field. It's his harvest field. Amen. He said, ask the Father to raise up some laborers that can be sent into his harvest field. So you got to pray for these kind of people. They're just not going to just pop up. You understand? You see, these rare type people that I'm talking about, God is looking for them. They're very valuable and precious to him. And when God finds somebody that's got these characteristics, I'm going to tell you the floodgates of heaven open up and God begin to pour out on them. Glory to God. There ain't no shortage of blessing in the earth. There's a shortage of people that are qualified to receive the blessing. Say, why don't we see more of God? I'll tell you why. We got a heart problem. That's why. Hearts are not right. And God, who is the greatest giver that there is, glory to God, is just looking for somebody to show himself strong. Glory to God. He's looking for somebody that he can manifest his glory in. God is looking for somebody that'll say, yes, Lord, I'll do your will no matter what it costs me, no matter who it joins me to or separates me from. We're talking about rare people here. Glory to God. Are you one of those rare type individuals? Or are you part of the 80% that ain't going to do nothing? It's like that in the business world, too. You got 20% of the people doing all the work. You know why? Because when a manager finds somebody faithful, guess what he does? Load them down. Right? You know, Pastor Bridget here, boy, she come out, she talking about faithfulness, she say, little boy Blue, come blow your horn. How many of y'all know that nursery rhyme? I don't know all of you. You know the nursery rhyme? The sheep's in the meadow, the cow's in the corn. Where's little boy Blue? He's under the haystack, fast asleep. You know what that means? That means that the sheep wouldn't have been in the middle and the cows wouldn't have been in the corn if little boy Blue had been there blowing his horn. You know why everything was out of order? Because he's under the haystack, fast asleep. You know why the church is like it is? Because most people is fast asleep. When they should be at church, they walking around the mall. When they should be at church on Sunday morning, they fast asleep. They AWOL. I come in here and I look around and make sure all the greeters and stuff is in place. Where's so-and-so? We don't know, Pastor. They didn't call. But we got somebody else. Now you done messed up somebody else that had to do something else. Now they got to pull your slack because you ain't in your place. But God's looking. See, he's watching all of y'all think he ain't watching. You think God don't care that you fast asleep somewhere. I'm going to tell you, he's taking note. He's watching. He's looking. He's looking at how you handle the few little things that he put in your hand. The few things that you say, yep, I will do that. God said, make a note of that. They gave their word that they're going to do this, that they're going to be committed to it. Sign their name on the piece of paper and said they understood all the rules and all the requirements. But the good news about the whole thing I'm telling you is that you decide. You get to choose the type of person you're going to be in the body of Christ. These precious individuals have three characteristics or three qualities that God will pass over a million people to find. Glory to God. Y'all in that first scripture there? Let me give you what the three are, and then we're going to look at the scriptures on it. The first one, God is looking for people that have a pure heart. I'm going to define what all this is in just a minute here. That's the first rare type people. There are not a whole lot of people that's got a pure heart that just want to do what God wants them to do. Pure heart, pure in heart. The Bible says the pure in heart, they shall what? Them the ones that's going to really see God. In other words, the pure in heart are the ones that really walk in revelation. They're the ones, we're not talking about seeing God in the afterlife, the by and by. It's the pure in heart that God reveals himself to, that have revelation of his will, revelation of the heart and mind of God and what God wants to do. It is the pure in heart that God's looking for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The second type of person God's looking for, he's looking for true worshipers. God is looking for people that have genuine, heartfelt worship. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And then the third type person, or the third characteristic or quality that God is looking for in people, is faithfulness. Now, just as a side note here, I found out that there's people in the Bible that I didn't even realize until I started studying this, that you ain't never heard their name before, but they're in the Bible for one reason, that God saw that they were faithful. Amen. If I call some other name, you'll say, who is that? What did they do? I said, I don't know what they did, but God said they was faithful. Amen. And he put their name in the Holy Writ. It's that one attribute. Oh, I can't wait till I get that. Let's go to the first one here, though. All right, 2 Chronicles 16:9. I'm going to read out of Amplified. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout where? The whole earth, to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart are blameless toward him. So what's God doing? The Bible says that his eyes are searching and looking throughout the whole earth, looking for people that have a pure heart. God's looking for those kind of people. I'm going to tell you, they're rare. They're very rare. But you can make a decision today that you're going to be that kind of person. Amen. I believe that God's giving me this word here because he wants to raise up faithful men and women that have a pure heart, that are really true worshipers, that he can depend on. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a great assignment on this ministry here. There's a great assignment. This vision that God given us is so much bigger than me. There ain't no way I can do it by myself. I can live two lifetimes and not be able to do it all by myself. Amen. It's going to take faithful men and women. And you know what? I'm looking. I'm just like God. My eyes are looking too. Amen. I come in and pray, and the Lord, show me the faithful ones. Show me those that got the pure heart, Lord. Show me. So I'm looking for the same thing he's looking for. You ought to be saying, God, give me a pure heart. David said, Lord, create in me a clean spirit. Renew the right spirit in me. Give me a clean heart, glory to God. He prayed for a pure heart, glory to God. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Let me tell you, those that have a pure heart, they have exchanged their heart for his heart. And they decided that their life is not their own anymore. That's how you recognize people with a pure heart. They live their lives with a desire to please him. They seek his acceptance and his approval more than the acceptance and the approval of men. You know why some people won't commit all the way to God? Because they are looking for acceptance from other people. Well, you know, if I really submit to this here, you know, I might get persecuted. They might laugh at me and talk about it. They want other people's acceptance. When really the only acceptance that you really need in life is God's. Right? You need God's approval. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Approved unto who? Only approval you need is God.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Oh.
hope for all I
bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God.